Black Fishing Radio. All right. Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L edition. I am one half of the L, Mark Lozier, and the other half, Chris Lally Lozier, on the other side of the wall. How's it going over there, Chris?
It's going fabulous. Trying to control the household. Can you hear the birds? Too much background?
Yeah. No, they're not too bad. I don't think so yet. We'll let them go for a while and see what happens. All right. Well, we got the chat room. People are starting to fill in there. We got Mr. Jim Dolan, LGB, G-Mac, GJ-Mac, some guests. Guests, you can log in with your Facebook account, and then you'll be able to chat with us. I know it's frustrating. We're having some difficulties with that. But, yeah, we're trying to get all that worked out. I know I keep telling you that. But, yeah, we're working on that. That's the other end of the spectrum for this show. We don't have a bunch of funding to do it, so I think we're on the low totem pole as far as our server end or something goes on there. I don't know why it's so difficult. It shouldn't have to be, but sorry for the inconvenience, but stick around anyway. If you can't get in, you can definitely still hear the show and check out the chat room. Unfortunately, you can't contribute, but you can always call in. The phones always work, so you can always call if you got a question or anything you'd like to add at any point in time, 714-816-4727. So give us a call, and we'll be glad to take your question for tonight, or like I said, anything you got to add and tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. We got Hammerhead. We got Dennis Bond, Red Raider Angler. Hey, there's Rich Jones from Chokoloski down the Everglades. Mr. Rob Choi. Yeah, we're getting a whole bunch of people in the chat room. Sean Russell from Texas. What's going on, Sean? And there's my boy, Philip Ruckert, in there. So, well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we appreciate it. It's you guys that make the show. So, thanks again. All right, we got a lot to go on, get over tonight. So, we're going to get right to it. We got some upcoming events I'll hit first. This weekend, for you fly fishing anglers out there, Chris and I will be attending the Virginia Fly Fishing Festival in Waynesboro, Virginia. It's a great event. I've been doing it myself probably for, I think, 6 to 7 years now. Six at least, I know. And then Chris has gone with me once now. How many times have you been, Chris?
Yeah, one time.
Yeah, one time. But this year we're going as just Joe Public. We're not doing any working capacity there, so we're going to be able to take in the show, go do some fishing. We have a full weekend planned of doing nothing that we don't want to do, whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. So, looking pretty good. I think the only thing on the schedule is, what do you have, a private casting lesson with?
Well, it's a group. It's a women's group casting lesson Saturday morning with Wanda Taylor.
Very cool. So we got, that's the only thing on the schedule. The rest of the weekend we're just doing what we want. We got a full weekend at the Iris Inn bed and breakfast, and like I said, we're just going to go up there and have a good time, get on the water and do a little fishing up there and
maybe
take in the show. If you,
I should throw in this plug and really like to thank the Angelopolises for this awesome gift.
Yeah, we got our whole weekend courtesy of Chris's family, their boss's family. I guess we're calling it our little honeymoon that we didn't get, so we're looking forward to it. And hopefully to make Chris's weekend complete, she'll get to see Lefty Cray again. And
yay,
that'll probably be the icing on the cake. But if you're not familiar, the Virginia Fly Fishing Festival has been going on in Waynesboro. I think it's over 10 years now. Great event. All the big names are there in the fly fishing industry. Bob Clouser, Lefty Cray, Humphreys, the list goes on and on. There's tons of vendors there, all the Orvis stores, A lot of great fly captains will be there doing seminars. Gary Dubow, what's his name? Dubow from North Carolina. There's more than I can list, but you can go online and check it out, Virginia Fly Fishing Festival, and it's also the Virginia Wine Festival that weekend. So a bunch of wineries throughout the state are going to be there. So if you like wine, you can also go over there, and they have samplings, and obviously you can buy their wines too. So it's a great event. Last year we got rained out. Well, we didn't get rained out. The show went on, but it was a muddy, muddy mess. So, but anyway, looking forward to it. And that's this weekend in Waynesboro, Saturday and Sunday. And then right after that, we get back Sunday night, and Tuesday night I will be at the Appomattox new location in Hampton, Virginia for Pro Night. I'll be talking anything related to all the products I use, from Native to Werner paddles, Astral buoyancy, PFDs, any questions, anything you got. We have like an open, I believe Vic has an hour slotted just for open round robin kind of questions. And then from there, I'm going to do a seminar on flounder fishing, excuse me. And then the really exciting part is after that, we're going to do this show live from Appomattox store. So we're going to have Vic as our guest, and we're going to talk about Appomattox and the history there and the new location. And so if anybody wants to come, check out the seminar and stick around afterwards, we'll do the show.
Of course, as an added bonus for everybody that's going to be attending, we're going to do a real small free raffle of a small package of Marshwork tackle. So you come in, hit us up for a free raffle ticket, and probably at the end of the seminar, we will be raffling off said goodies.
Very cool. Yeah, so you can get some free tackle. I'll see what else I got laying around. I'm sure I got some other goodies from Marshworks, maybe some Aqua Dreams even. I know I got a bunch of that just came in. So, yeah, so we'll have some goodies to give away. We'll do the show live so you can hang out. And the other cool thing about when Vic does his pro nights is it's kind of a real relaxed environment. He basically locks the doors, so to speak. You can't get out, but, yeah, he locks the doors, so you can bring an adult beverage, you can bring some snacks, kick back. It's not a real formal type of event. It's a relaxed environment, so you come out, hang out. We'll have a good time there on Tuesday night. I think it starts at 6 o'clock. I put a link up on the First Landing page, so if you go over to Facebook and check out First Landing Kayak Fishing Services, there will be information on there, and I'll post it up a couple more times as it gets closer, just so everybody's aware and get the directions and all for the new location. It's on what, Mercury, right? I haven't even been there yet since I got back from Florida, so I believe it's on Mercury. Is that correct, Chris?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So, but like I said, I'll put all the information up on First Landing. If you don't know about First Landing on Facebook, go check it out. Give us a like, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on. And then an upcoming event that's way down the road, but we got to keep mentioning it, is the Boondoggle. So we got the Boondoggle on October 5th
Boondoggle.
Through the 8th.
Boondoggle, Boondoggle. What the heck's a Boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Well, there you go. I don't have to say any more. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. I know we talk about it every week, but there's an occasional chance somebody might be new in here, so I'll just quickly hit on it. It's an event to go fish. There's no tournament. There's no fees. There's no nothing. Just a bunch of kayak anglers getting together here in Virginia Beach for the long Columbus Day weekend, and we're going to go fish. That's all there is to it. Like I said, we've got tons of water here you can fish from. You can go out in the bay, the ocean, the flats, the Lynn Haven River system, fresh water. I mean, you can be in the bay in the morning and go do a lake in the afternoon in a matter of minutes. We're going to have some good eats, good get-together, just, like I said, a really good time. Chris has been mentioning in the past that Mr. Rob Choi has donated one of his fish rubs for a raffle. We got other raffles coming in. If you or anybody you know would like to donate to the Boondoggle, hit us up. You can send us an email or get a private message us off of our First Landing Facebook page, Boondoggle page on yakangler.com. So we're just going to have a bunch of raffles, like I said. So anybody has got anything they'd like to contribute, we'd be more than happy to take it. So I hope you guys mark your calendar. Come on out. Have a good time with us. That's the week after the TKAA tournament. It's probably one of the best times of the year to fish in the Tidewater area in the fall, late summer, early fall. So we'll have plenty of fish for you to get on around here. So I know people have already started booking the cabins. So it's starting to fill up there at First Landing State Park. But if you've ever been to Virginia Beach before, we have more hotels than you can shake a stick at. So we'll definitely find a place for you to sleep. And anybody who's retired or active duty military, we have plenty of bases here with lodging. And even some of them have campsites on the bases too. So you can get in there.
Of course.
So yeah, so to boom.
Of course, you know, you want to make sure if anybody comes in campers, not to park at Owls Creek.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that when we get to tonight's guest. I think that probably the nicest, quietest sleep that he's had in a while. I'm glad he came to Virginia Beach, could finally rest. So when we get to Woody here in a while, we'll have to have him tell his story about his sleeping accommodations when he was here last week.
So can I hit the Boondoggle button again? Somebody asked.
Go ahead, because somebody's asking, what's a Boondoggle? So go ahead. I know you like to hit your buttons there.
Boondoggle, Boondoggle, Boondoggle. What the heck's a Boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
All right. Well, there you go. We can just do the whole show from button pressing. I don't want to have to talk. We'll just have you cue everything up and I'll just sit back and relax.
It's kind of cool, though. It's background noise, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in an aquarium.
Kind of.
All right, well, let's move along here so we can get to our guests and everything else we got to cover. So, I got a report somebody sent me in here, so I'm going to get to that real quick. One of the things is a reminder for any of you down in the South Carolina, Charleston area, this weekend is the East Coast Canoe and Kayak Festival at James Island Park in Charleston, South Carolina. It's a huge event. It's been going on for a long time. It's basically a big demo day. All your major canoe and kayak manufacturers will be there with reps on hand. So you can go try out boats, check it all out. I know there's seminars going on all day from fishing to rigging and all kind of other stuff going to be there. So Philip Rucker sent this in to us, and he'll be down there. So go check it out if you're in that area. I was just chatting with Woody today and saying I'd like to go down there and do that sometime. I've always heard great things about that show, so maybe one year we'll load up and go down to Charleston, make a long trip out of it, and do some fishing, too. Anyway, Philip also sent us a report from a tournament that was held on April 14th. Patrick Parmenter was the winner with 3 largemouth bass. I guess this was a combined inches of 51 inches. Calvin Allman had second place with 48 3/4, and then Chris Edwards had third with 45 inches. That was 3 bass combined in total. So looks like they had some good prizes in that event, so I appreciate that, Philip. If anybody here listening tonight or anything would like to ever send us in what's going on in your neck of the woods, you got events coming up, please, by all means, you can shoot us an email or call in, or you can post it right here on the chat room. Let everybody else know what's going on out there in the kayak community. It's a big world out there, so trying to keep up with everything. I know Forgotten Coast Kayak Anglers, I should have had Super send me something. I saw all that the other day. They just had their tournament last weekend. Looks like they had a good event. So very cool. It's that time of year now. I know the Jack's tournament's coming up. got the Jamaica Bay tournament coming up. There's events all over the place. I know the North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association there with Mark Patterson. They got their monthly tournaments. The when was that? Battle of the Borough. That's coming up too, isn't it? Yeah, I think so, in Greensboro. So there's a lot going on out there. So like I said, if anybody ever wants to let us know what you got going on in your neck of the woods, feel free. Let us shoot us an email or something so we can put your event up here and let other people know what's going on. So as far as our neck of the woods, this past weekend, Chris and I, we've been busy ever since I got back from Florida. It seems like we haven't slowed down. Saturday, we had a HOW event, our first HOW event of the year for the Tidewater chapter. We had 6 vets go out with us. We had a spouse and their child, and then we had a dad who also brought his son along. A lot of fish caught, a lot of blues, speckled trout, good time. We had a really good time out there. We broke at 12 for lunch, and almost everybody wanted to go back out, I believe. Yeah, I think almost all the vets went back out. So we fished in the afternoon until about 4 o'clock. It's a great time. I had the honor in the morning of having the father with me. Got him on some fish. And then at lunchtime, Tom Vanderheiden, the chapter director, came over and told me that the little boy was walking around all sourpussed. He was a little, he didn't catch anything in the morning, so no pressure for Lozier. Tom said, okay, I'm sticking the boy with you in the afternoon so he can catch a fish. He's all grumpy now. He hasn't caught anything all day. So I was like, oh, thanks, Tom. Then the little kid came over. He was a little politician, dude. He was 9 years old, but you would have thought he was probably 15 or something. He was just going to town. He told me that if I didn't put him on fish in the afternoon, he wanted his money back. So that was kind of funny from a 9-year-old. I'm sure somebody set him up to that. But anyway, we got him some fish. He was happy. He had bluefish and croaker and little speckled trout. So that was a pretty rewarding day to take those guys out and then to have a father and a son out there. That was pretty cool. Had a good day with that. And then on Sunday, we fished again the whole double L. So we had a triple L, though, because Chris and I brought Amara with us for her first kayak fishing event. She's paddled before, but she hasn't ever fished from the kayak, so that was pretty good. That was a great day to take the little L out there with us. And she caught a flounder. What was that, on the third cast, Chris?
Yeah, third cast.
Kid whopping them up on a flounder. It was kind of windy. She handled her kayak like a champ. It was pretty cool. She was casting the whole time, paddling against the wind, caught another. What else did she catch?
13-inch croaker.
Oh, yeah, she caught that croaker. That was funny. Flounder didn't bother her too much, but she don't like them croaker drumming away there, but it was very cool. So pretty rewarding weekend all around for me. Like I said, taking those vets on Saturday and then getting the youngest one of the house out there on the water and watching her catch her first and second fish from the kayak, and it was pretty cool. We had a good day. So, and Chris took third place in our little TK weekend tournament we had Sunday. Tom Vanderheiden of the HOW chapter that I just mentioned, he won the event. And I don't remember the gentleman who got second place, but we had a good time. A lot of new faces for TKA, which is always good to see some new folks, new blood. So that was pretty cool. What else we got going on, Chris? Am I missing anything? Did I forget anything yet before we keep rolling here? Because I feel like I don't have my notes all together like I normally do.
What's the matter with you? People are waiting to hear you talk, and you don't have your stuff together? Jeez.
Oh, I can talk. I can talk. So did you guys see the space shuttle on top of the plane today? They flew it up the coast. All right, no, I won't go about that. Chat room's filled up some more, so let me say hi to everybody that's tuned into the chat room. Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you're just tuning in, I've just been running my mouth, like Chris just said, just kind of catching everybody up on past events and upcoming events. So from there, we're going to get to our guest here real quickly. So tonight our guest is Woody Calloway of Legacy Paddle Sports, not just Native Watercraft. Woody's involved with Legacy as a whole, and like a lot of other kayak companies out there, they don't just make one brand or one style of boat. So Woody's involved in both the whitewater side of the company and our native side. And natives are more geared towards the fishing kayaks in our fleet. But Woody was just recently here, last Thursday, came up here with John Grace to film some footage and take some pictures for the Native YouTube channel, Native TV. Woody, you in there?
Yeah, man. Hey, Mark and Chris, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Thank you for taking your Tuesday night out and spending it with us.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, hey, I really want to say thank you. Thanks for taking John and I out. It was great Thursday and putting us on the water and checking out the Virginia Beach. But, I just want to clue everybody in first on how it all went down on Wednesday night. So for all you guys, I just got to preface this by saying, you know, John and I live in the middle of the woods in western North Carolina. Yeah, there's 17 180-degree turns to get to my house. It is quiet here. It's so quiet that when spring comes and the birds start chirping, we start complaining that it's loud. So John and I drive up from Morehead City, and definitely looks a lot shorter on the map than it does the actual drive. So we're driving, we get there. Mark gives us directions to this parking lot, you know, and so we drive. We ask him the questions, hey, are we going to get run away from here? We're in a little RV, we just need a place to park. And he said, oh, I got the perfect place for you. Matter of fact, that's where we're going to meet in the morning. So you'll be right there, and nobody will run you off, nobody will bother you. So we drive late at night. We're exhausted. We're like, hey, we made it. John was driving, and he's like, hey, I'm just going to get the closest we can get to the ramp, so we don't even have to move in the morning. It was perfect. Turn the engine off and turn the radio off, and we hear jet. And it's like, well, that goes jet. I mean, we hear them occasionally where I live, but not very often. Then there's another one. Then there was another one. Then there was another one. I look at John and I'm like, "Runs your parkas at the end of a runway? What is going on?" It got so loud and it lasted so long. We were just laying there trying to go to sleep. We finally just started laughing. Like, where the heck are we? we found out to the next morning. We're like, you know, we lay in there for a while. We're like, oh, it's going to quit. Even if we're at the end of a runway, they're not going to fly into Virginia Beach all night long. It was all night long. I don't know. We opened the door where I lived and hear a little river running to get a little white noise. But, man, you guys got more white noise up there than Check the Stick at.
We don't even hear it anymore.
We were like, they were doing, what did you say they were doing? A naval base or something?
Yeah, NAS Oceana. Yeah, one of the largest naval air bases in the country.
Mark
it was
shows
pretty
up
funny.
With dolphin donuts. He's going, hey, how'd you guys sleep? Good. And I'm like, dude, where have you got us?
Woody jumped out of that RV. I saw death coming at me. He said, where the hell did you park us? In Beirut is what he asked me exactly. We don't even hear those jets. We don't even hear those jets anymore. I mean, that is our background noise around here. But yeah, that was pretty funny. I won't tell everybody exactly what you said to me, but yeah.
I was joking today.
It was fun though. It was an adventure from the start.
I was joking, Mark, today. We had to make that a sticker, but we thought nobody might use that. It would be inappropriate for public usage.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting at the house surrounded by my kids. I think it's inappropriate what I said. I was like, that damn Lozier parked us at the end of a runway or something. I don't even know where we are. But it was great. Loved it. Next day was awesome. Beautiful, a little windy, but a little chilly, but it was still good, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been, you know what, it has been blowing here even after you left. It got warmer, but the wind still blew. They just blew from a different direction. It's been, I think, ever since I've gotten home from Florida. Maybe it's my fault, y'all. You just be mad at me. But, yeah, it's been blowing here for quite a while. I think it's finally starting to lay down. We'll bounce out here sooner or later. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time, and we're glad you came up. And next time I'll try to see if I can put you someplace quiet, or we'll have to send you over. I don't even know where the heck to send you around here that you wouldn't hear some kind. I was thinking Pocosin, but then you got Langley Air Force Base over there. So either way, I'm just going to get you some earplugs. I'll get you some earplugs next time you come down.
Fish? Awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. So what's going on at Native? Tell me what's up with the Native Watercraft. Give me some. Give the listeners what's going on with you guys over there at Native.
Well, we've had a big year, and you know, last year we decided to really refocus our brands. And if you remember, we had some flat water boats, and Native was flat water and fishing boats. And We went back to the roots of the company and rebranded it, you know, just to be really focus on kayak fishing, and Liquid Logic is white water and flat water boats. And so, you know, we've been very successful at it. We got our heads down. We're working hard every day, and it's been a great, absolutely fantastic winter for kayaks and kayak sales, and so yeah, we're rolling along, looking forward for a good season. The season's starting early. You know, we were John and I have been traveling quite a bit. Kind of, we started a thing called Native TV, which is basically based on our YouTube channel, and so we've been visiting a lot of people, and from Florida to Arkansas to North Carolina to Virginia Beach to visit you guys and go out fishing. And so we launched Native TV about 2 months ago, and it seems like people like it. It was certainly fun creating it. John's an incredible producer and videographer, and we've been friends a long time. So, you know, Native is rocking, man. I got to say, this has been super fun, and been meeting a lot of nice, fun people. And, yeah, getting, you know, my career has been in whitewater, but this fishing thing is super, super fun. I really like it.
Cool. Well, we've been having – it was fun. I joined, as you know, and joined you down in Florida for a couple of those, and then having you here, it's been fun. I enjoy having – somebody that maybe just sounds kind of weird, but it's kind of nice having somebody who's not real big into fishing when you get to go out fishing, because you kind of let us be ourselves as the guides and everything on the water. So it's refreshing to you and John just let us do what we do, and that makes it a lot of fun.
What you're saying is John and I don't know anything, so everything's good, huh?
Yeah, you know what a jig head is.
I'm on it, son. I'm on it.
You know what a jig head is. That's right. Woody was so chuckled the first time we fished. We were with Neil Taylor, and Neil were talking about jig heads, and Woody's like, stop, wait a minute. What is a jig head? I had to show him what a jig head was. He thought that was pretty funny, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, and then by the end of the day, I heard you and John whispering, I think Mark's throwing a jig head with a DOA soft plastic number 12. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
We got her down now, though, don't we, buddy?
What's that?
Yeah, you and I hooked up. You were down in Florida on a Tampa with Neil. Fished a couple of days. That was a fun trip.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun. Then we went down and fished with Gibson, with Steve, down in Sarasota. Yeah, that was cool. I wish I could have tagged along and done the whole Florida run with you, especially down there to Rich Jones. I know you guys had a good time down there with him, and that would have been cool, but maybe next time.
I caught my first redfish with Rich. It was really fun.
Yeah, he's
it
in the chat
huge.
Room tonight. He's listening in.
It was huge, wasn't it, Rich?
Yeah, he's here. Oh, actually, Jim Van Pelt's here, too, so we got a whole bunch of the Native guys.
Those guys
in the
are
room.
Awesome, man. It's been, you know, I tell you, man, the Native crew is awesome. Everywhere we've gone, it's been just great, great. Instant, I'm going to say a weird word probably on this station, but the camaraderie has been awesome. Been really great meeting all these guys. And you know, I see it a lot in whitewater. You know, over the years, you you've got some rookie like Meek showing up, and then the pros are just, I mean, we're in awe. You know, John and I are just watching what you guys do, and we're totally in awe of what, of how good a fisherman you guys really are. It's really fun to watch.
Wow. I appreciate that, and I know everybody else that's listening in that's with Native appreciates it, but it's nice having a company like Native behind us, too. It makes it a lot easier for us, too, to have some have the support that we get from you guys. So it definitely
Well, the knowledge base that you guys and all the guys have so far that we've met from D and Rich and Neil, all you guys, Nathan, all you guys, just the knowledge base is what is really impressive to me. You know, as a person that hasn't fished prior to recently, just the knowledge that you guys have of where to go, when to go, what you're looking for. You know, I see guys standing up in these kayaks, and they're just like, yeah, I see three fish here. And I mean, you guys are like casting, man. You guys nail them right where you need to cast. You know, Rich down in Everglades City is skip casting up under the mangroves. I'm telling you, it's really impressive to watch you guys and be around, and hopefully we can continue because it's been super fun so far.
Yeah, the Native TV. We'll talk about that while we're talking about it. So let's just keep the Native TV thing going. What's that all about, and how's it been doing for Native or as a whole?
Yeah, well, you know, John, I had an idea. It's just, you know, we're a small company. A lot of, you know, that's kind of the misnomer people have about kayak companies. You know, to most people, kayak company is a kayak company, but you know, Native is. You know, we're small. Legacy Paddle Sports is a small company, but we have been very innovative in the sport. You know, we've got a lot of years of whitewater experience and flatwater experience and now fishing experience. You know, one of the original, I don't know how many people out there know this gentleman, but one of the most impressive guys, and he really helped launch Native as a guy from down in Alabama, Point Clear, Alabama. His name's Jimbo Metter, and you know he was very influential in the earlier days of Native with design and you know, we've been very lucky to have a lot of talented people working for Legacy, and so I think that's one of the reasons we're so successful is just we've got a lot of talent. And that, you know, we looked at the guides and the pro staffers as just an extension of us. You know, that's what's really cool is just how kind of down to earth fishermen and the guides are, and it's just been really impressive. It's impressed me a lot to hang around and watch. And but you know, we've been very lucky, and you guys are the talent base behind Native, guys like you and Chris, you're awesome, and so you know we look to you guys and the Philip Rutgers of the world, and has really helped us create not only demand but just to be creative. Native TV started just honestly as a small company. How do you get the word out? And you know, I've noticed over the last few years that you know the world of communication is changing. Social media, for instance, like Facebook, has really changed the face of communication. And we looked at that and said, look, you know, we can spend the same amount of money on an ad in a magazine, or as a small company, we can take that amount of money, create Native TV, and, you know, we've got a product or a message that's going across the planet, you know. So that was the first, and you know, it's been very successful. You know, our viewership on our YouTube page has just skyrocketed. It may just be a coincidence, but so has sales skyrocketed for Native, and so we think we're on to something. And again, without the talent base of the guides and folks like you guys, you can't get it. You know, you can't create it. It's just like I tell people, I was like, at the company, they're like, well, let's go do a photo shoot. You know, Woody, you can be the fisherman. I'm like, no. I'm like, you can't fool a fisherman. As soon as they see a photo of me casting with a hook stuck in my shirt, they're going to know something's wrong.
Hey, Woody, I want to interrupt you real quick because I just had a question come through the chat room, and it's going to fly by me. So we have a gentleman, I believe it is. I'm sure. Anyway, posted earlier. He has a 2009 Heritage Redfish 14. He upgraded the seat. He wants to know, is there any changes since it went over to the native label with the Redfish?
It's real, a lot of really just cosmetics, to be honest. But there's been no changes to a model. Really, once a company has invested the time in the design and it's gone to mold, there's very little changing you're going to do. You can outfit it differently, you know. Coming on board last year heavy with Native, really the things we've done is just really clean the boat up a lot and in its appearance. And we went to the mold and we spent a lot of hours polishing and so, you know, shape, nothing's changed. A little bit of seating change, but no, Redfish is a Redfish. We're doing really well. It's an awesome boat. It's one of the quietest hulls that we have,
yeah.
Actually.
That's probably the unsung hero of Native or of the Legacy. I loved my Red. I had three different models. The Redfish doesn't get enough good word. I don't know what to say. I mean, you hear everything else out of the stable, but the Redfish is a great, great platform.
It's a quiet little hero for us. I mean,
yes.
It's a boat that is easy to get into kayak fishing. It's low cost. It is upgradable, with some seating like that gentleman did. And, the Redfish is still rocking and rolling. The only difference is we polished up the mold and made it super shiny and looks great and comes in camo now. So that's really about the only changes to that Redfish line.
Very cool. I'll get a lot of people. You're not on the chat room, so a lot of people are raving now about the Redfish and Jim Dolan saying he had 45 of them and our Tidewater chapter. That's what all of our boats are in the Tidewater chapter or the Redfishes. So, yeah. Got a lot of people here talking about they have an Ultimate. I'm just filling you in because I know you don't see the chat room. Ultimate Mariners. Everybody's shouting out now. All the native owners are on here spitting out what they got.
Oh, that's awesome.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you know, with the help of a gentleman named Jimbo Matter. I mean, he, you know, Jimbo's one of those guys that he's, number one, he's hilarious. He's like 70-some years old. Super fit, wears a bathing suit under his clothes wherever he goes just in case he wants to go take a swim somewhere because you never know. But, you know, he came to us, you know, early on, and, you know, he was one of the originators of standing up in a kayak in the, you know, mid-90s, you know. So he knows what he's talking about, but he had a heavy hand in designing of the Ultimate, and I got to tell you, it's my number one selling boat, the Ultimate. People really love that boat. They love the seating, but they love to be able to really easily set their gear in, haul a bunch of stuff, and the Manta Ray does well. I mean, for sit on top. So you know, we've got a really hot line of the Mariner, the pedal drive system. I honestly can't say enough about some of the. Again, talent that we've had and help and it's definitely making our company grow and be successful and I really appreciate everyone out there that has tried one of the boats and liked it and liked them and I keep on fishing, man. I mean, we're all about it, you know.
Very cool. So you were just talking about one particular model, and you and I talked about this on the water. And the Mariner. So talk about that, the sales, and then I also want you to tell real quickly about the European drive on the Mariner also.
Yeah, you know, we as most of you probably know, you know, there's really only two propulsion pedal systems in the industry, and Hobie's awesome. They got a great product, you know, we looked at fishing as kayak fishermen, and but we definitely saw the success Hobie had, and not only the success that they had, but what is next in fishing. And there's no doubt that, you know, I'm a proponent of it. I love kayak fishing, but from my perspective, you know, there's definitely a pretty big future in hands-free fishing, and that's what pedal drives allow to do. So, you know, like, it's kind of crazy. You know, we're doing really well in the States, and it's picking up like you wouldn't believe, particularly this year, and but in Germany and the Australias and the New Zealands, I mean, it's really been unbelievable season for the pedal drives. They're really doing well. I mean, I give you for instance, you know, that's the only thing that we really purchase offshore is that pedal mechanism, and it's a cost thing, just trying to keep some costs down, obviously, and you know, we've been ordering 50 units at a time and trying to keep ahead, but then suddenly this spring has hit us, and you know, we're ordering 300 units at a time now, so that's a big deal for us, you know, that's awesome, but you know. So the Mariner, you know, for people who are wanting to go out and they like that sit on top action with the scuppers and the safety aspect of a sit on top, the Mariner's doing well. And then, to be honest, you know, the success to me of the Ultimate and the coolest thing of the Ultimate pedal drive is 40 pounds lighter. You have an Ultimate, which is very popular, pedal drive in it, and suddenly you've got the lightest pedal drive on the market. You know, it's right at 40 pounds lighter than the next pedal drive. So we're doing great. You know, it's doing great. And definitely with John and I traveling and filming so much, I've been able to really watch it work. And you know, the maneuverability is just it's really, really, really good. You know, I'm patting ourselves on the back here a little bit, but I guess sometimes if you don't brag on yourself, nobody will. But we've got some good, really, really, really good products for the fishermen out there, and I hope that you know, we'll see if anybody on the chat rooms differs, but we're very excited at Native, that's for sure.
All right. Actually, in the chat room now, we got people saying, I want a Mariner, I need to try the Mariner. So, and then, of course, we're going to keep moving through the fleet while we're at it. And, you know, my wife's in there. She's chiming in about the Tegris. So why don't you go ahead and hit on the Tegris for a quick second.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. You know, Chris Powell's a boat, an Ultimate out of Tegris. And, you know, this is a kind of cool situation. We're here in Western North Carolina. We're really close to Spartanburg, South Carolina, where the Millikan Corporation is, and this is a kind of a crazy statistic. I mean, for those who've never heard of Millikan, it's the largest privately owned textile manufacturer in the world. You know, they have their own university on their campus down in Spartanburg, and they developed this material really to be to replace Kevlar in military vehicles because of the shrapnel retention and the lighter weight. And they came to us and, you know, they're like, man, we think this would make a really good kayak. Would you guys be interested? And, you know, we were very lucky. Millikan is just an incredible, incredible place. To give you an example of how successful that company is they have a museum that they kind of walk you through. And according to the folks at Millikan, they estimate that every person on the planet touches something that they've had a hand in helping to develop or totally developing 7 times a day. I mean,
wow,
that's pretty impressive. So when they came to us, you know, we're a little small company, and you know how, like, it's a small world. One of the girls who was a graduate of MIT working on the project went to church with my family in Denver, North Carolina, believe it or not. And so she contacted me, and we met, and I'm kind of making a long story out of this, but, you know, it was a pretty huge undertaking because of the molding process is something that has never been done, particularly in this industry. And so, you know, we can't fund this kind of R&D project. We think it's cool. And, you know, they came right back at us and said, we're not asking you to. We're going to do all the R&D, and we just want to see if this thing makes a great boat. And so we were off to the races. And really what it is, it looks like fiberglass, you know, like white fiberglass, but it has kind of a slick feel. And the way it works is that you lay these different layers out dry over the mold, and the mold itself heats up with hot oil. And is like, you look at these little threads, and each thread has a core. I mean, we're talking tiny, but each thread has an inner core and an outer core, and the outer core melts at a lower temperature than the inner core does. So you heat the mold up, and you're really heating up the outer core of all these little threads. And then it's unbelievable. If anybody knows what a hydraulic ram is, basically the mold closes up and is just pressed together. There's no resin used. You're just using heat and pressure to bond the different layers. So, in an ultimate, you're looking at about 17 or 18 layers. Now, when it gets to the end of the boat, every one of those layers is actually doubled. You know, so on the bow and the stern of the boat, you're getting 32 layers of Tegris. And so basically you're just heating it up, pressing it together. The ram on the press is about 3 foot in diameter. I don't even know how many million pounds per square inch it is, but it just presses this stuff together. And, I mean, you can still see, like, if you see some of these Tegris boats, you'll see, like, some odd coloring or the end of the fabric maybe show. There's really nothing you can do about it. That's not a bad product. That's just a part of the process. But what you end up with is a virtually indestructible, super crazy, lightweight, tough boat. And, the weight savings is phenomenal. Like, Chris, your boat weighs, what, like 32, 28 pounds without the seat in it? It's 36 with. So in an ultimate 12, you're going from 50 pounds down to about 32 pounds. And, again, it's tough as nails. And, you know, we've been very lucky. Again, I'll go back to talent. We were just have the talent of the Millikan Corporation behind us, and it's been very well received. And, you know, just like any product like that, it's a little more expensive. But when it comes time, and Chris, when it comes time to load boats, you don't have any problem with loading that thing on top of your truck, do you?
No, I do not. In fact, I don't actually drive a truck. I drive a Zion XD, and I load and unload the car, the kayak, all by myself.
Yeah. So you know, we have the Tegris, and we've got some. We were one of the first ones with the tunnel hull design, and you know, it's kind of like sometimes you look at things and people say that, you know, if when you're imitated, that's the or it, if you've got something good and you're imitated, that's a pretty good sign of success. And so we've had some designs that people try to copy, and you know, but don't seem to be able to break ground with it, just like the Ultimate. But and you know, Tegris is something that we have, no one else has, and it's just an awesome product, you know, to be honest with you. I mean, you can drop it off the car, you're not going to break it. You can do it with a hammer, you're not going to break it. So, you know, other than dragging it down the road, you can probably wear a hole through it, but you can't break the stuff. It's unbelievable. Love it.
Yeah, I always tell this story. I was at that fly fishing festival I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and there was a lady who brought hers down, and she was on 81 doing 60 miles an hour or something, and it fell off the top of her car, and it, you couldn't even tell the thing fell off the car. I mean, she's like, she was all freaked out. What happened to it? You know, she's all worried about her boat. And I would have never known that the thing fell off a car at 60 miles an hour and hit the interstate and bounced and popped around. I mean, it was incredible.
Mark,
nothing else would have withstood that.
Mark, you have more firsthand experience with what a Tegris looks like when it comes
off. Okay, moving right along. All right, so anyway, wow, she just called me out on the national radio show. That's so nice.
You know, you had mentioned HAL Heroes on the Water, and you know, I'd like to talk. You know, I am really touched by what you guys do and the volunteers do for the veterans, and you know, Native is definitely behind it 100%. And I know you said earlier that Jim Dolan, the creator of HAL's, it was, I don't know if he's still in the chat room, but
yeah, he's in there.
What an incredible
there, yep.
Organization, and what a great thing to be doing for our veterans. My hat's off to everyone involved with HAL.
Well, you know what, Woody? I was going to call you out on this, and Jim just posted it up, and I want to mention this and just to everybody, and like I said, Jim just put it in the chat room about Frank Wade, so you already know where I'm going just by mentioning Frank's name.
Right.
But, Frank had a crazy story.
I mean, it was probably about a month ago. I was traveling, and, you know, you're just on your smartphone or your Droid or whatever you got, iPhone, and, you know, you're scrolling through Facebook, and I saw where someone stole his Ultimate, you know, and I didn't know who it was or what was going on, and I just, you know, I called back to the plant, and I was told Becky in customer service. I was like, man, you know, see if you can run down to Frank and get the serial number off that thing, because a lot of times when people steal something, they don't know what they're stealing, but they try to sell it. So I thought if we at least had the serial number, we could help this guy out. Jim called me probably a week later and kind of clued me in on who Frank is and what Frank does, and I was just honestly touched. I was like, well, you know, here's a guy that is basically using his Ultimate tandem, the boat that got stolen, to take other veterans out and give them a good day, fun day on the water. And you know, Jim's like, is there anything you can do for him? And I was like, hold on a second. It's Mike Hooks, our sales manager, our traveling. I was like, yeah, there's something. I've got a pretty darn fresh Ultimate tandem. I'm just going to replace it. And I'm going to personally take it down. I'm going to be down there in a couple of weeks, and I want to meet Frank, and I think it's a great story, and what he's doing and how he was using the boat is, you know, how could you not? There was no other choice, you know. Let's get this guy back on the water. He's doing a lot more important things. So that's the story, be honest, you know.
Wow.
It
we
all
thank
started
you, Woody.
Again. I
thank Legacy and everybody over there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I just got some.
Off to Dolan.
Hold
what
on
a,
one
what
second, because I just got some, not bad news, but I guess our show thing, once again, has not been updated. So according to my timer here, we have 5 minutes left.
Chatted up too much.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry about that. So, all right. So, to not get you cut off, would you come back on another time, please? And we have plenty more things to talk about.
Hey, I'd love to, and I really appreciate it. And again, thanks for taking us out the other day. It was awesome, and you guys are doing great things, and I appreciate you being involved with us here at Native. And yeah, man, see everybody on the water, catch fish, post them up. I'd love to see the photos, and keep hooking them up, man.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Woody, for giving up your Tuesday night. We're going to get going here. I don't want to cut off everybody. I'm sorry about this. We planned on keep on going, but somehow our show, we should be able to have another half an hour in here, but something wasn't correct in our scheduling. So to get us out of here without being abruptly ended, I thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you again to Woody, and we'll have Woody back on another time, and we'll keep on with this conversation. Thank you to all of you guys who tuned in tonight. We had 30 listeners. That's incredible. I really appreciate it. You guys are what makes this show and what gets Chris and I motivated to do this, having you guys following along. So thank you guys for your support. Real quick, don't forget to tune in the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, Mark Wheeler. Thursday, Chip Gibson. Friday, the West Coast Show, Ike and Spike. And Monday's back around to Redfish Chuck. I'd like to take a quick second to thank my sponsors, obviously Native Watercraft, Daiwa, Aqua Dreams, Columbia Clothing. If you're not over there at First Landing on Facebook, go check us out. Give us a like. We'll keep you updated. What's going on? I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second.
Somebody must have
jumped. No. Are you still there, Woody? We still got you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It just updated. We want to keep going. Let's keep going. I got everybody still here.
I'm not going anywhere.
Woody, you ready? All right, let's keep it going. Don't go away,
awesome.
Philip. I see you saying cheers. The thing just updated. It said we had 5 minutes left. We had this happen a month or two ago where the thing just cut us off in the middle. So y'all stick out if you want to. Please hang out. We'll keep on going with Woody, and we'll get everything going here. Okay, Chip Gibson, our godfather of the show, as we call him. He fixed it for us, so thank you, Chip. All right, so let's get back like none of that ever happened. So we were talking about, what were we talking about?
We were talking about Frank
right, so yeah, well, we really appreciate that, Woody. I mean, and you're right, Hal is a great thing. We have a lot of people in the chat room now, and I know we have listeners and people download the podcast. A lot of us here are involved in Hal, and we really appreciate y'all's help with that matter, and it's a shame to see anybody's kayak get stolen or anything get stolen, period, for that matter, but definitely a guy who's using his boat, and Wade also himself a wounded veteran, so that's pretty cool. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
So where were we? Let's keep rolling on our Native discussion and everything else. Anything new coming? You got anything new going down? Anybody, anything with Native new coming up?
I had to kill you, son. I had to kill you. You know what? We're always working on stuff and new designs.
I thought you were going to kill me Thursday morning. I thought you were going to kill me Thursday morning when you jumped out of that
after trip. After that night of fright, putting me in Beirut or wherever, man. Good Lord.
I've never seen anybody with that red of eyes who hadn't been drinking the night before. So I thought you were going to kill me that day. So.
But we're always working on stuff. I think we got some really cool stuff coming out for the 2013 season. You know,
because this is a new thing. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the new move. You got a move coming up.
Oh,
let's
the
talk
new
about
move.
That
yeah,
first.
Yeah, yeah. We're moving the factory. It's currently on High Point Road in Greensboro. Great area. But we're moving it up to Western North Carolina, pretty close to my home of Saluda. So we're moving it just to Fletcher, North Carolina, which is just south of Asheville. And we're really excited about it. But it's another challenge, you know. You're trying to do production and move. And so we got a lot ahead of us, but we're really excited about the move to Western North Carolina. You know, it's this is a great area. There's a lot of fishing, trout fishing, lake fishing, river fishing. There's a lot of whitewater. There's hiking. It's just a it's a great area for the future of the company, we feel. As any company grows, you need to continually hire youth, you know, in order to stay on top of things. At least that's the way we feel, is you need to continually hire youth. And Western North Carolina just presents itself, honestly, for our more of a youth movement to there's so much to do up here. It's so attractive a place to live. It's one of the top 10 places in the country to live as far as recreation goes. And so we're really excited. The Henderson County people have been just phenomenal. And so, yeah, we're real excited. Got a lot of moving to do, but we're excited about it.
That whole area, though, you and I discussed this the other day on the water, that area itself has seemed to be growing. I noticed, and my favorite beer, New Belgium, is putting a brewery in there, and you said Sierra Nevada, is that correct? They're putting a brewery in there?
Yeah, and they, you know, these guys are just, yeah, we're really excited about that, and the area's excited. You know, Asheville is home. I don't know how many small brewing companies, micro brews, but Asheville is quietly and quickly becoming a small little mecca of micro brews, and which, you know, I mean, those two guys are definitely past the micro brew, what I would consider, stage, but you know, they're very successful companies, and you know, they're choosing to move here, so we feel like we're in good company.
Yeah, I'll have to come down and visit. Come
yeah.
See the new plant and get a tour of the New Belgium factory too. And Astral's down there too, correct?
Yep, Astral's, you know, Astral Buoyancy's here, and you know, there's just a lot of good. It's going to sound weird coming from an old guy, but you know, it's just a good vibe here. And again, the future of kids graduating college that have a desire to be in the industry or in the outdoor industry, this is just an awesome place to live. When considering all the options from mountain biking to climbing to hiking to kayaking to fishing, you know, there's a North Carolina mountains is just an awesome venue for those things, and so we're excited. Yeah, we're extremely excited about it.
Very cool. And what was I going to ask you? Oh, hiring. Are you guys I notice occasionally you put up on Facebook and other places you're looking for some people and stuff like that. Is that still, are you still looking to fill some positions around there? Do you have a area where people could find out about that? Because we have a lot of North Carolina listeners also, and people who podcast.
Yeah. I tell you, we've been very lucky. Blue Ridge Community College, the local community college here, is heavily involved. They're helping us recruit and actually doing a lot of training for us and doing a lot of the hiring. So if anybody is interested in working at Legacy, and there's definitely different positions available, a lot of production positions available, from assembly to ovens. They can contact Blue Ridge Community College. And again, they're handling all the hiring, and we've been very lucky to have those guys involved. And it really takes another kind of a burden off of us. We have a lot of our factory workers, and we'd love for all of our factory workers to come, but it's just not totally possible for everyone to be here. So, but Blue Ridge Community College, if anyone's interested, you know, contact those guys. They know the positions that are available and that we need filled, and you know, they're doing the screening and doing all the definitely helping train the employees. So, you know, that's the way you do it, and we hope that to bring in more and more talented people that want to make kayaks.
Jim Dolan wants to know if you have a greeter position open. It's not Walmart, Jim.
Hey, Jim can be our greeter anytime, man. Anytime. Love to have him, man. I would love to have Jim Dolan at the front door.
There you go. All right, Jim. Well, you got it. You have to pack up and move.
Are you going to get Jim out of Texas? I can tell you that.
No, you're right about that. No, he's
not
leaving.
You might take him out of Texas, but you can't get Texas out of him.
There you go. That'll be the funny part about him greeting there in North Carolina. They'll know he's not from North Carolina, will they?
No, they'll just think he has his accent is like.
Oh, here's a good question.
Are you going to read it or do I have to?
I sure can. Somebody's asking, Woody, do you think there is a future in direct manufactured electric propelled kayaks or leave it to aftermarket, knowing the Volt has recently discontinued?
Well, you know, that's funny. You know, sometimes you think that you might be too early to the dance, so to speak. But, you know, I think that the future of it is going to be pretty much for us is aftermarket, because I tell you what we found is that there's two things. You know, we had in the same unit, you know, you could get a pedal drive unit or you get an electric motor. And what we found is that we had a hard time on the showroom floor, particularly, when it got to two things, a battery, dealing with the battery every time you wanted to go out, and this is kind of odd, but, you know, kayakers and kayak fishermen just, you're doing it, we call, one of the things you're doing is just the peacefulness and you just the ease of going fishing. But with that electric motor that we had, you know, you had a car battery, and then you had to register your boat because it had a motor on it. So I think the future really is aftermarket. You know, there are some great aftermarket applications. That Torquedo motor is just awesome, and I think you'll see more and more of it, you know. But, you know, to get down, I don't know what kind of battery it's called, but, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but there is a small battery pack that you can get for those motors that, you know, the battery is like $500. And, you know, that's a good question. You know, we didn't have success to it, but, there again, we may have been a little early to the dance, you know. But you know, I think the aftermarket application is just an awesome idea.
Very cool. A gel battery somebody put up, lithium ion.
I think it was a gel battery, but, you know, that's like, unless they've come down, they were like $500, you know. No.
Right, yeah. Kind of defeats the purpose of the kayak thing there.
Well, I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know there's like a movement up in the Northeast right now to put aftermarket batteries on some kayaks. And you know, it only takes one spot for things to spread. So, you know, we've definitely got our eye on it and see how that ends up.
Cool.
But right now,
somebody
pedals and the human powered is still king at this point, you know.
Right. You're not familiar with, but Chip Gibson, who I just mentioned a minute ago, he's the guy who started this whole kayak fishing radio movement here, and he asked if you were going to come to our boondoggle in Virginia Beach in October.
Boondoggle sounds like the place for me to be, buddy. That's my kind of an event right there.
All right,
fish
see,
and party. That's fish and party is that has Woody written all over.
So I'll take that as a yes. Woody is going to join us.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk my wife Kim into coming with me.
Oh,
very cool. Right on.
Here, I'm gonna hit the boondoggle button again just because.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck, boondoggle?
I went to a boondoggle down in.
Your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
I've gone to one. It was a really cool one. It was down in, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but it's like Chuckalusky or something down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
That Captain Wright used to do. I'm not sure if he still does it, but it was a really
cool
one. You fished out with the tide. The tide was going out, and actually an island would appear, just a sand island. And he would take his motorboat, actually, out there and cook all day. And people would, you know, paddle and fish out to that island. And, you know, you were on the island for a few hours, and then it was starting to cover back up, and everybody left and fished on the way back to the cars. That was my first experience with the boondoggle. I got to tell you, I thought it was really, really cool. But boondoggles and Woody, now that sounds like a good pair right there.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll find you a better place to stay than at the end of the NAS Oceana runway when you come this time. I'll make sure.
Your white noise is a little different than my white noise.
Our white noise is what keeps this town alive. If it wasn't for our military, this town here, military and tourists would be the two things, this place would shut down. So we'll take that noise all we can get. So very cool. All right, well, I started this by asking you what's new or what's coming in, and you were starting and I cut you off, so let's go back to that. So what's going on?
I'm throwing a teaser out, but there's some cool stuff coming out. Again, Native is totally focused on fishing, and I think people will dig what we're coming out with. You know, we're really excited about it. But I was going to say, you know, like when I say 2013, what that means in the kayak world, the kayak industry basically goes from August to August, and I don't think anybody's going to be mad at me at the plant if I would come out and say we're working on some cool stuff. So look forward
to
it. You'll be able to see some cool stuff come August for sure.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on all of that. All right. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add, Woody, that we might not have touched on? We're getting closer to our 9:30 call. I don't want to keep everybody too late on their Tuesday night.
No, I mean, I just want to say that I'm really it's been a pleasure getting to know everybody in the kayak fishing world, and we want to continue making good stuff so people can go out and enjoy it. You know, it's really funny. I think this is going to be a pretty boom year for the kayak fishing industry. You know, as gas prices go up, so does, you know, it doesn't matter. Fishermen are going to fish. Whitewater boaters are going to go. If you love something, you're going to go do it. Now, keeping the cost down on that is pretty important. So, you know, as gas prices go up, I think this is going to be a very healthy year for the industry as a whole. If our early season sales and success is any indication, then this should be a banner year. And I want to invite anybody. I'm sure everybody that's listening to this is already a kayak fisherman, but you know, it's an awesome sport. It is, you know, as Steve Gibson said, I think it's really interesting. You know, he's just like, you know, the difference between motorboating, this is my observation. You know, let's take a trip out to Arkansas. You know, there's three of us fishing. We're all three in the back of a pickup, our boats, right? So we go to a lake, and there's three of us. I see a motorboat with three people in it, and the three kayak fishermen that came together are still fishing together, but they're covering a much broader area than, ooh, did you guys hear that lightning strike?
Yeah.
Oh, it came through the phone.
That's your white noise.
The interesting thing that I've noticed is that, you know, a motorboat can carry three people. You get to the dock, you get in the same boat, and you're fishing pretty much the same area of a cove or wherever you are. But three kayak fishermen that show up, you end up covering more ground. And then the other thing that for me personally is, you know, we talked earlier about I'm used to being surrounded by a pretty quiet atmosphere here in Western North Carolina. And, you know, that is, until I went kayak fishing and I was with some guys fishing and then a motorboat comes by, the serenity of kayak fishing is something that I don't think a lot of people really realize, just how serene it is, and no noise, and you know, the boat passes you and it gets out of sight, you can't hear it anymore, and you're back to the serenity of kayak fishing. So I think more and more people are going to get into the sport. I think it's early stages still. You know, some of the listeners may have been kayak fishing for years, but I tell people, even in whitewater, you know, I've been doing it for 30-some years, but it's still a very young sport as sports go, and I think that's where kayak fishing is. You know, there's basketball and baseball. Those are sports that have had parents that played those sports for years and generations. Whitewater is just now getting to where their parents that are old, you know, like the populace of parents who were actually kayakers were that young. And I think the same with kayak fishing. You know, you guys have been doing it quite a while, but I think it's still in its infancy, and I think it's just going to grow and grow. And as more and more people realize the ease and the economics of kayak fishing, I think it's just going to grow and grow, and we're real excited to be a part of it.
Yes, very cool. And I think a lot of that now, too, is with this, and we talked about this also last week, is with the social media and with things like native TV and the YouTube, people, you can find out so much stuff now to where in the past when it first started, I mean, I always use the example here locally when I first started, when we started in the area, I knew who was on the water looking across the distance just by the color of the boat even, or what fishing poles I could see hanging off of it, because there was so few kayak anglers. I could just say, oh, that over there is so-and-so. Now I just see plastic on the water and I wave to everybody. So, you know, everything that's going on with, like I said, the social media and things like kayak fishing radio, and people are finding out more and more about the sport. And I totally agree with you. Luther and I had a conversation today, and we both said the same thing that you just said, is that we haven't even seen the start of how big this is going to get, I don't think. So
and I'm all mentioning Luther. What a cool guy, huh?
Luther? Yeah, Luther. I asked him. He called me yesterday about a new idea, and it was like 7 o'clock last night. I was like, dude, go home, get some dinner, and go to bed. And he calls me at 8 o'clock this morning, and he's already got like three more things added on to the thing we talked about. I was like, did you sleep last night? He's like, that's just it. When I got good thoughts, I sleep really good, but I wake up and all those thoughts I must have had in my dreams, because he's going, I was like, the guy never rests, Luther. He's
for those who don't know who Luther is, you know, he's the owner of Yak Attack, you know, so he's concentrated on the accessories end of kayak fishing and has done very well and got a great product. And, you know, my hat's off to him. Great job, Luther, but he is an awesome guy, man.
Yeah, Luther's top-notch. I truly enjoy working beside him, too. Yeah, he's a great guy, another one in the sport that's done a lot for it and keeps growing, and he grows with it. So, and I think that's the thing with a lot of these companies, and you with Native and all the kayak, not just to speak of Native, but it's growing, and you have to grow with it, and everybody seems to be trying to do that and keep up, because we got a long ways to go, I think, before this thing even gets close to a plateau. So We're gonna see a lot.
One thing I want to get into, I don't know if, you know, I'm really learning about the whole spawn thing and what's come being next, but I'm really excited. I'm getting some reports from down in Florida that the tarpon are moving in, man. I'm pretty excited to go down there and check that out.
Yeah, Dave was asking. Dave's in the chat room, and he was asking when you're going to come down and do some tarpon fishing from the kayak.
Yeah, we're ready, man. John and I are loaded, ready to rock and roll, man. I want to see somebody land. I want to see a kayak just take off, man. The big sleigh ride. That's what I want to see.
You don't need that tarpon for that. A red drum will do it for you.
Yeah, you come up here.
I hope John Gray's sitting on there. He's got one photo of me of my only redfish, and be honest with you, it was tiny. I hope he doesn't post that up there.
Oh, yeah.
He said he was going to post it. I was like, come on, man. give me a break. But yeah, I've definitely seen some movement from kayaks, you know, with fish and what you guys call the sleigh ride. But I want to see a big one. I want to see a boat just take off.
Well, I'm sure it'll happen. And Dave said he'll give you a call when they get sick down there, so you can get on them with him, and you can always come back up here.
Yeah,
we got our big red.
Absolutely, that'd be really fun.
Very cool.
I'm coming down. You know, I'm going down to that the tournament down there in Jacksonville. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be my first tournament, and I look really forward to meeting a lot of people down there. And yeah, man, just keep rocking and rolling and keep throwing that line out, right?
That's right. All right, Woody. Well, we're going to get going here. It's getting close to 9:30, man. We really appreciate you calling in. Appreciate everything you've shared with us tonight. If anybody needs to get in touch.
That's awesome. And again, hello to everybody, and thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to coming back on if you'll have me again.
Anytime. You're always welcome on our show. Anytime. You can just call in and say, hey, what the heck's up, or see what's going on, or tell us what you got going on. Always feel free. You got the number now. Call us anytime.
Yeah, and if you and Chris ever want to come up to Western North Carolina, feel free. I've already checked, and I can get you a spot at the end of the runway at the Asheville Airport.
What do you got, like two planes that take off a week? How many planes leave?
You know what? You're right. It won't be enough for you guys.
For the record, Woody, I don't even want to be included in this. Mark is the one that recommended it to you. I didn't have nothing to do with it.
I know why said nobody's going to be there. It'll be fine.
You didn't get bothered, did you? You asked me if anybody was going to bother you. I said, nobody will bother you. You didn't say was there anything else to be worried about. You asked if anybody would bother you. So
I need to get down to more specific questions. Nobody will bother you, and there's no jet airplanes flying like a foot over our heads.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it, guys.
Really appreciate you having me. I hope everybody good luck fishing in the coming season, and hope to be on here again.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much for your night. And like I said, you're always welcome to call in. All right, everybody.
Well, take care. Have fun. Keep your lines wet, and give us a call when something big's coming, all right?
All right. We'll do that.
All right,
everybody. Well, thanks.
Thanks for tuning
in tonight. Thanks, Woody, for calling. I already gave my plugs earlier when I thought we were getting run off. So I'll let you guys get back to your Tuesday evening. Chris, what do you got for everyone?
I don't have much of anything. Come out and see us next Tuesday at the Appomattox store in Hampton. We will be broadcasting live after Mark's Flounder Seminar. Again, we're going to have a small raffle that's going to be free. Anybody that shows up, hit me up for a raffle ticket, and we'd be raffling off some of Mark's stuff. Otherwise than that, please remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation angler. Tight lines, everybody.
And tune in the rest of the week, Wednesday night, Thursday, Chip, Friday for the West Coast show. Thank you guys. You guys, like I said earlier, are what makes this show. So thank you very much for tuning in. Remember, plan your fish your plan. Take care, everyone. Hit the button.
I did.
Good night.